May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 678. There's not a man that's born of God, but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Hymn 678. May the Lord help us as we read from his holy word, the epistle of Paul to Titus, chapters 2 and 3. The epistle of Paul to Titus, chapters 2 and 3. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviour as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help Benji to pray.
Do help us now to rightly call upon thy name and to seek thee. Oh, that thou wilt give us that right spirit, that we truly might be found in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh Lord, thou knowest how far off we feel, how full of unbelief. Oh Lord, how we feel our sinnership before thee. Oh, do have mercy upon us and teach us how to pray. For, Lord, we know not how to pray aright, left to ourselves. But our eyes are up unto thee. Oh, that thou wilt come and teach us. Thou wilt put those right words in our mouth, in our hearts, to call upon thee and seek thee. For thou art an almighty God. Oh, that we might truly come then with that humility of spirit, that contrite heart, to fall before thee, truly confessing our sins before thee and seeking mercy, seeking that interest in that great work of thine, what thou hast done. For, Lord, we can do nothing of ourselves. Our hope is in thee. O Lord, do then come, work in each and every heart found here in thy house this day. Lord, apply thy word by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that they each might possess thy fear and come to that right knowledge of thee, a holy God that can not pass by our iniquities. But, O Lord, may we find a precious Jesus. Lord, to have that feeling in our hearts to know thee and what thou hast suffered, what thou hast done. O Lord, do remember us then. Take away that hard, that stony heart. Give us that heart of flesh, Lord, that we might come unto thee, seeking thy salvation. O Lord, thou alone canst do it. We do pray then that thou wilt remember us and that thou wilt use thy word, sung, read or spoken in time past. Lord, it is with thee. O, do remember us here this day then, and may there be that good thing done in the hearts of one and another, that there might be that praise into thee, that rejoicing in thy word, and Lord, that there might be those that can truly come unto thee. Lord, for left to ourselves, how soon we turn aside, how soon we're taken up with the things of time and the many concerns. Yet, Lord, thou hast said, there is but one thing needful. O Lord, and Mary has chosen that good part. Oh, may we each choose that good part. May we know it in our hearts and find thee. Lord, thou alone can save our souls. Have mercy on us, we pray. We do then pray for each one. Lord, thou knowest the cases of each one found in this house this day. Lord, all is open, all is known unto thee. Our thoughts, our prayers, everything. Oh Lord, we tremble at the thought. But oh, we do pray that there might be that true confession. and Lord, that thou wilt have mercy and come this day and grant a word of help, a word of direction, if it can be thy will. And Lord, where necessary, that reproof from thy word. O Lord, enable us each then to truly fall before thee in that humble submission to thy will. Guide us each aright then in the things of time. O Lord, we need thee here below, but oh, that we might have that prospect of knowing thee, O Lord, in eternity to come. O Lord, a God of love, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt lift up our eyes unto thee, quicken our souls. O, remember us then for good this day. And Lord, thou knowest each one and the various cares, difficulties and trials. Lord, from the oldest to the youngest, thou knowest it all. O Lord, and we do commit them into thy care, and that thou wilt use these things. We do pray particularly for the young ones, that thou wilt help each one, O Lord, to bring their cares unto thee, and to truly tell Jesus all about it. O Lord, as one of thy servants used to say, Lord, we do remember this, and we pray that we might be enabled, for how soon each one, if one may speak for others, look to all other causes first, to all other ways. Our Lord, do draw us then unto thee, and enable us each to cast our cares upon thee. O Lord, to seek thy help. Lord, help me, is our continual cry. Keep us then in that right way, and leave us not to turn away from thee, to go aside, to turn even into bypath meadow. For Lord, how soon we do, left to ourselves. Oh, remember us each one then. And we do pray for thy servant whom we had expected here this day. Lord, thou hast laid his afflicting hand upon him and brought him down. We do pray that thou wilt grant those healing mercies, if it can be thy will, that thou wilt raise him up once more to bring forth a precious Jesus and to be able to say what thou hast done for him even in these past months. O Lord, do grant him then a word in season to his never-dying soul, and help him this day. Lord, and all thy servants we pray for, those in affliction, Lord, that thou wilt help each one. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt help those servants as they come into this house, week by week, that thou wilt truly give them that message to bring, but Lord, that thou wilt give us each a hearing ear, an understanding heart, that it might be thy words we hear. O Lord, thou alone canst do it. Do help us then to worship thee aright. And Lord, we pray for those not with us this day. Thou knowest each one and where they are. One in hospital, we do pray that thou wilt help her, Lord, and that thou wilt sanctify these things, and that thou wilt truly cause that there might be a knowledge that all things work together for good. Lord, thou only canst do it, bring good out of seeming trouble. But Lord, we know thou canst do it. Grant us then that faith to look to thee, to trust in thee, and to be submissive to thy will. O Lord, we pray then for our country, that thou wilt remember us. Lord, we know not what to say, but thou knowest how wickedness increases. Close down our streets. O Lord, there's little regard for thy day, for thy word, for thy way. O Lord, turn us again, if it can be thy will. And Lord, remember those in government, in power. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt plant thy fear in the hearts of some at least, and Lord, that there might be those that can truly look to thee in all our needs. For thou knowest the troubles and the difficulties we're in. But, O Lord, we do desire to bow before thy judgments, to confess our sins, to seek thy mercy. O Lord, in wrath remember mercy. Turn us again once more, if it can be thy will. Lord, do now help our brother in reading. Lord, may those things read in times past be used once more, brought to life as it were, that there might be that thing spoken that remains with us, that we can take home, that we can truly consider. O Lord, do work for thy great name's sake. O, do help us now then to worship thee aright. Remember us each for good, and forgive us each now all our sins, for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 344. As we sing this hymn, may we be asking the Lord to show us, was it for me the dear Redeemer died? For us the dear Redeemer died. Why are we then ashamed? We stand forever justified and cannot be condemned. Hymn 344. I will try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Prince. You will find the words of the text in the Epistle to Titus, chapter 3, verses 3, 4, and 5. The Epistle to Titus, chapter 3, verses 3, 4, and 5. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Man by nature is under the power of sin and Satan, unable to deliver himself and without desire to do so. We were willing subjects of Satan, but he is a bad master. And though he told us many things to deceive us, we were glad to be deceived. The wages of sin is death. What a dreadful end it will be to those that continue in sin to hear, "Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Oh, what a deliverance to be delivered from the power of darkness in which we were held. We did not know the position we were in. So if delivered from the power of darkness, we may say, "What hath God wrought?" And such were some of us, but God had mercy. The more you know of yourself as a sinner, the more marvellous will it be in your eyes. Children may look at their parents, or parents at their children, or you may look at your old companion. You are made to differ, and they are just where they were. Perhaps blind Methodists or dead Calvinists who remain so and drop from hearing the gospel into hell. The gospel never comes with power to their souls. If the gospel has ever been the power of God to your soul, you must go to heaven, and you may say, "What has God wrought?" In our text, the apostle goes on to show that the kindness of God, proceeding from his love, is as a sea without a shore. Why should God love us? The cause is in himself. We were all disobedient, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We should all have continued opposers to God if he had not stopped us, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These things are real things, solid, substantial things. If God's love had not been great, we should soon have exhausted it. We cannot fathom him or his love. It is a sea without a shore. And when we get to heaven, we shall be swallowed up in it. The children of God are all taught of him. He does not teach one thing and one another, but he teaches them all these two things, sin and salvation. And we shall never get to the end of these two lessons or fathom the depth of the wickedness of the human heart or the depth of the love of God. You can only know something of Christ's love as you know yourself. And these things are not learnt in a year. Live 900 years and you could not get at the bottom of them. In our text, we have the kindness of the love of God. Nothing can turn the course of it. And all the difference between the elect and reprobate may be traced to this. Why to my soul did he convey the blessings of his grace? Because he loved my soul, and he will never take away that love. The love of God to his people is ever the same. If God were to change as you and I do, every soul would be in the pit. But because he changes not, but rests in his love, we are not consumed. If a man were to give all the substance of his house to make God love him, it would be of no use. This great kindness will show itself in pity. Whatever our needs, there is a storehouse for their supply, which can never be exhausted. Look at the kindness of God in sending his Son, and of the Son in coming. The love of the Father, of the Son, and of the Spirit is the threefold cord which cannot be broken. And it is toward every vessel of mercy that is to enter heaven. Christ said to his Father, "Here am I, send me." There was no other way of salvation but by Christ dying. He took a body whereby he could make atonement for sin. If he would have his people in heaven, he must die for them. Your sins have not taken God the Father or Jesus Christ by surprise. All our sins of lip, life, or thought were laid on Christ by imputation. The huge weight, had he not been God, would have sunk him. But being God, he stood up, and God wreaked all his vengeance upon him. Had he not undertaken our case, that wrath would have sunk us to a never-ending hell. Was it not kindness to drink up our hell, to bring us to his heaven, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried when he made an end of sin. An end was made to all his people's sin, past, present, and to come, when he said, "It is finished." How that word was blessed to me once. "It is finished." Holy Ghost, repeat that word. Full salvation's in it. Do not we want it repeated? When we sin or stumble or defile our consciences, Do not we need to cry, repeat that word, proving that that sin is finished, that sin that brings a cloud, that sin that grieves and distresses. O Holy Ghost, repeat that word, showing that that sin among the many is atoned for. It is finished. Oh, what a word! What I saw in it, I can never tell you. An end is made of sin. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. He buries them in the depths of the sea. Law claims are satisfied, and sins buried in the depths of the sea. Here is redemption. Having obtained eternal redemption for us, and well may it be called a plenteous redemption. Was not this kindness? Oh, I wish I could love Christ more. From time to time, how I have blessed God that ever Jesus Christ died for me. No man ever went to heaven but blessed God for his Christ. There is no other foundation, no other friend but Jesus Christ. Ah, if you have Christ, you have a friend in need, and a friend indeed. Paul might well say, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Here is kindness. Every sin is pardoned. You most may say, you do not feel your every sin is pardoned. But you will, if God has turned you from darkness to light. And you can say, such were some of us. You were a profane man. Or perhaps you were a moral man who thought himself better than others, a good fellow citizen and an honourable man, who thought surely he should go to heaven. But God undeceived you. You were on a sandy foundation, and if you had died so, would have gone to hell. But God stopped you and humbled you, and you see a beauty in Christ and have fled to him. God's people put a very great value on Jesus Christ. Have you done so? If not, may God grant you may before you die. Look at the kindness of the Spirit. He says he will search out the sheep. He knows where they live. He knows your name and where you live. Look at what he says to Ananias. Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Again, he sends to Simon the tanner, whose house was by the seaside. The Lord knew where he was. And do you think he does not know where you and I live? Do you think Saul's and Cornelius's were particular cases? The Lord knows every thought of ours and every circumstance that is trying to us. And he knows how to send customers to your shop. You may ticket the goods in the window, but cannot make people buy. You have to see that God will send customers and that he gives you every shilling you possess. We are apt to pass by these things. How much gratitude have you? Every shilling God gives you and every comfort, everything above what the fiends have in hell. And shall I not sing as I go, the Lord has done everything well? Let me ask, are you seeking Christ? They that seek shall find. The Spirit will make poor sinners seek by letting them feel what the end of all things will be. You feel the solemn things of eternity, and that if Christ does not reveal himself and you receive pardon, you will perish. The Blessed Spirit draws out such cries as these. What shall I do? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. This is how you move out of yourselves to Christ. You want the remedy brought in. None can of himself bring it in. But there is the pearl of great price. You are satisfied it is in the field and there to be found. You know salvation is a blessed truth. You want it. You have a want in your soul. You want the great question settled and want God to say he has nothing against you. It must be something from God to satisfy you. Then you are a blessed man. And if you can say, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee, you will go to heaven. He never says to the seed of Jacob, seek ye my face in vain. As surely as you have these desires and can leave father, mother, and all things for him, he will be found of you. Though it may not be till just as you are stepping into eternity. As surely as God has from time to time brought out these feelings in your soul, so surely will he satisfy them. He will replenish every sorrowful soul. These desires which you have felt are not known in hell. Do you suppose that any that are there ever had the feeling to be able to say, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee? You feel sometimes a determination to go on calling upon God to save your soul, even with your dying breath. I've said sometimes to people, if you can give it up, do. I know they cannot, if God has anything to do with them. I have thought I would give up, but could not. A living fish goes against the stream, a dead fish with the stream. The sinner feels that the end of going back would be hell, and argues, I am not dead yet. While there is life, there is hope. You may have to go for 30 years without finding what you want, but if there is no seeking, there will be no finding. If you are seeking, God intends you to find in his own time, and it is the right time. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward. Honey is indescribable for sweetness, and never can the blessedness be described when Christ and the soul come together. It is a blessed fact that never, never can be gainsaid, that Christ and the poor seeking sinner do come together. Dost mind the place, the spot of land, where Jesus did thee meet? Have you a place where, as said Jacob, the Lord appeared to you? If so, it will stand forever. On his dying bed, he looked back to Luz. Have you such a spot? Then you must go to heaven. To the land of Israel they came. If God has appeared to you, he did so as much as to Jacob or Abraham. And if he has looked upon you, your feeling was that you were dust and ashes. It is a clean sweep out of the world and of your idols, and you fall at his feet amazed that he could let his mercy come to you. You cannot get low enough. If you know anything of this God, he is as much your God as Abraham's or Jacob's. Perhaps you say it was long ago the Lord thus appeared to you. Have you not wanted to see him again? Can you feel that other things fill up the void when he is absent? No, say you, and I am so tried as to whether the blessing I had was real. Sometimes the devil makes it appear fancied, forged, or vain, and I cry, oh, that he would come again. You are a poor, restless creature. Will not gold and silver satisfy you? No, say you. Whatever else God has given, I want Christ, a look from him, a touch from him. That is more than gold and silver. Ah, that it is. Earth is a dark spot when heaven opens. The prospect is glorious. A few more sighs and we shall be with God. And he drops pledges to confirm our hope. He does not appear and say these precious things to people that are not to go to heaven. These things are the kernel of religion. Look at his kindness to come over all our sins and persuade us we shall go to heaven. And how have we requited him? Do not you blush with shame? What has been your conduct since God has thwarted you in kindness? For his kindness appears in hedging up our way. If it were not so, we should go to hell after all. You may have asked God for a husband. He gave you a good one, but you would have been better pleased if it had not been a poor man. God sees the foolishness in your heart and thwarts you. Or you get fond of your business, your house, your husband. And God pities his child and says in kindness, I will hedge up her way. He will pull down what we build. He sees that in that state we do not want much of him. Perhaps when we go to chapel, we do not want the minister to be long and bow the knee in a form, but have no appetite for the things of God. God sees it and hedges up the way. At such a time, what do we say? Can you say, bless the Lord? No. You see the evil day and ask God to spare you. He answers not, and you do the devil's work and rebel against him and think you do well to be angry and say, I have asked him not to let things get worse, and they do get worse. And the devil says, God will not hear you. And then he will point it out as a foolish thing to say anything about religion and make religion appear the silliest thing in the world. Yet you cannot give it up. You are in a devilish spirit, and your nature would even curse God. I have felt my heart would commit the unpardonable sin. But the Lord looks upon us again, and we turn again, and the rebellion is quieted in a minute. There is a hush. We have been broken to pieces, and our souls have been overwhelmed with his mighty love. As a little child, we are humbled in the dust and say, he has undoubted right to govern me and mine. I have been in trouble outside and inside with the enemy pushing at me, but the Lord has looked upon me, and I have left it all and gone to heaven in my feeling. All has been peace and quietness. After that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared. This is the point I want you to look for. Has he appeared? Am I stopped? Am I different from what I once was? Did Jesus once upon thee shine? Then Jesus is forever thine. Has he been kind to you in reviving you again and again? Has he let the dew come down? If not for these things, you would lack moisture. Perhaps there has been not a great manifestation, but a dropping of the dew. Have you not found your heart made soft? Your hope has revived, and a little love has bubbled up? It was soon gone, but these are the touches of our adorable Christ. Dear soul, you must go to heaven if you have known these touches. You say you want more. Paul said, not as though I had already attained. He wanted to press toward the mark, to get deeper into the love of God, to know more of the person of Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. All works are completely cut up. How God has convinced me for many years that the appearing of Jesus Christ, the visits of Jesus Christ, are not for works of righteousness. It is not this way. It is not for good frames. Should he wait till I could put myself into a good frame, worthy to give him reception or make room for him? With sinners he would never sit, at least I'm sure with me. Have you not thought sometimes that you would read the word of God? You have read and read and not known what you were reading. You could not understand it. It was all a jumble. Or you think you will go and seek the Lord, and you try to call upon him, but your thoughts are at the ends of the earth. But the blessing does not tarry till you get yourselves into a frame to receive it. I am not speaking against reading God's word, but we are not to be able to say, I went on reading and reading till the blessing came. God does not bless so. The blessing comes not because we pray. Do you see what I mean? Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. And when he designs to give, he pours the blessing of prayer upon us for the blessing he intended to give at such a particular time, or for such a particular circumstance. Were it not so, we should go strutting about and saying, I keep my eye on the Lord. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. And perhaps in the midst of all your rebellion and hardness, and thinking you will say no more about religion, the Lord appears. His bowels yearn over his poor child, because it is his child, in this deplorable, earthly, carnal state of soul. Oh, the kindness of God! He knows our frame, how weak it is. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He is rich in mercy. His mercy, like his love, is infinite. And because it is his child, he comes again. Look at the prodigal, spending all his living. But when his father had brought him to his senses, he said, I will go to my father. His father was moved with compassion. There is more in the mercy of our God to save us than in our sins to damn us. All the difference between us and those in the pit is through mercy. And this mercy is seen not only in saving from a burning hell, but in delivering out of temptations. Though God's children may fall, they shall not be utterly cast down. The kindness of God provides the rod, though he will not take away his love. The rod is provided, and God will use it. And I do not want to live so as to bring a cloud between me and God. When you come to die, you may have some of the terrors of the damned. But if ever you have felt what I have described, you cannot sink into their place. God may withdraw his sensible presence, or permit the devil to distress, so that you may die under a cloud, under a controversy with God. You may sin so that God may put you to bed in the dark. I want to live as becometh the calling of God. If you go on in sin, you may fear whether you have not learned these things in judgment only. But according to his mercy, he saved us. He gets the honour by the washing of regeneration. That is the new birth, a fitness for heaven, a spirit of holiness, a part of that divine nature which is communicable and which will never be satisfied till it goes back to God whence it came. And there is the renewing of that new man. With the love touches, the new man revives and runs the ways of God with delight. Then we are humble, heavenly minded. And when the new man is up, the old man is down, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. There is an abundance so that we can never sin ourselves out of God's love. His attributes have encircled us, and eternal mercy shall keep and preserve us unto his everlasting kingdom. Amen. So let it be.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £645, and on Monday for the Needy Cases Fund to £761. We're thankful for both. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman. Philip Hare is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, and hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the morning service, and also to address the Sunday school. And can I just ask the church members to stay behind after this service for a minute, please? Let us now close with hymn 789. O ye sons of men, be wise, trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. 789.
Together with the children this afternoon, grant thy blessing upon that attended. Lord, we would remember thy servant who was expected here today. Oh, do be with him in his affliction. Lord, do grant him, Lord, thy bless. Oh, that sanctified. Lord, if it could please thee to raise him up again. Jesus Christ.